there, my friend, and welcome to the Ayurveda and Psychology podcast. I am Charlotte Skogsberg, your host for this podcast. I am enchanted to meet and to take you with me on this journey into the human psyche, viewed from the holistic approach of yoga and Ayurveda, and viewed from the modern man approach of clinical psychology and psychoanalysis. So have something nice to drink next to you, maybe a cup of tea, have a seat, or go out for a nice walk in nature, maybe. Enjoy. In this episode that focuses on the psychology, I want to speak to you about the function in our brain that makes us go for the bigger, better option. The reason we keep sabotaging and failing, really. And of course, the function that everyone can profit from on other people. So we have this constant search inside of us, a search for something new, something bigger, something better. And there's a reason why health and wellness brands are so much on the rise. Everywhere on social media, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, or through any podcast platform, we see influencers grow by the day, as if they were supplementing on growth hormone, wink, wink, past episodes. If they are in the industry of wellness, fitness, or let's face it, these days they just call it health instead, because that sells better. Now, I will be a little bold, maybe, when I say this, but doesn't it seem as if a new idol appears on the scene with seemingly the most incredible thing that was exactly what we all were missing? These experts that come in, and it's as if it's really the missing piece to the puzzle, the missing piece that we all were waiting for. They appear out of nowhere. And of course, they're only there to serve the public, to give us free information. No hidden agendas, only these seemingly geeks, right? Who have been studying for decades in the dark about this one clue we all needed to have. Just to be exposed at the perfect time to the public, and now they educate us to become better humans. For some reason, they tend to grow overnight. Their following becomes enormous within weeks, and suddenly their name is on everyone's lips. Then the advertisement makes the entrance into their accounts, and they tell us what they use and how good it is and how it aligns with their research, aka their product. After some time, maybe some months or even years, depending on, it kind of feels like they are everywhere. But also, they kind of start to repeat themselves a little bit. Now, obviously, we need to hand it to them. It is understandable that the solution that you've found won't have 100 million angles to be told. So it's quite natural that they repeat the same thing. But they keep repeating the same thing over and over, finding new hooks, of course, so that we will still think that there's something brand new about it. And we agree with all that they're saying. And the conclusion seems to always end up in the same place. And that is when they hit us with their product, of course. I receive emails every day from people, air quote, companies, of course, but there's people behind them, telling me that they can help me grow my business online, or that they would love for me to try their product. This probably happens to several of you that listen to me if you have some kind of creative activity online, right? And let's be clear on, I'm not an influencer. So the propositions that I get about trying products are not these amazing, high financially valued things that they want me specifically to try. I am not on that level of visibility, I would say. Actually, often it feels more like pyramid scams, but of course, that expression has been banned since some years, right? And now it's called affiliate marketing instead. So if little me gets this, imagine what the big names have. No, strike that. Imagine what it takes for that one influencer you like to have become so big. I would dare to say that there's really two ways this goes. One that belongs maybe a little bit more to the past and is more authentic. And then there is the other one, the new one, since, I don't know, 2-3 years or something like that, maybe more, what do I know? One actually did the work themselves up to a level where the influencing aspect started to pay off. And maybe even they sold themselves out a little bit without integrity. But the other one is completely a product from A to Z. There is a whole marketing team behind their very first Instagram post. If there is a team behind it, it means that there is money behind it, because someone is seeing an opportunity to make some more money from it. The phrase "follow the money" has never been more adequate. Who is profiting from this, and what big company does it go back to? Because it's a question of who has the most money to market something. It is not that the person we see is so much more incredible than the next. It's that there is actually a huge budget helping them to succeed. Now, this episode is not some bitter blame and shame on how consumerism has simply taken the turn away from fitness and wellness to health. And there's a big difference there, not in the products, but in how they market it and therefore how much better it sells. No. Actually, my inquiry this week is why we keep going after the latest extreme trend in health, changing every month or every 6 months, year or whatever. We change what we believe in, actually, to just go with the new trend. There's an expression in Swedish where we say that you turn the coat after the wind, basically. Yet not even taking the time to look at what ancient practices have been informing us about for hundreds or thousands of years. Yes, of course, I'm going there. Even the influencers who promote one thing so strongly for a year easily turn around and change their message when some new information comes to the surface. One that annoyed me especially was around the whole intermittent fasting trend. And yes, there is a specific person in mind, and it doesn't matter who it is, because I'm sure there's plenty. But this one was a woman promising women all over the world that basically all their dreams would come true if only they could commit to the 16-8 pattern of eating, right? Meaning 16 hours you don't eat, and you have an eating window of 8 hours. And then it came into the mainstream media from the source of research around this topic of intermittent fasting that maybe it wasn't a great idea for women to fast the same way men can. And that the reason no one had spoken about it was because they didn't know about it, because women were not included in the clinical trials. It was only when they had some of their patients or just people around them, women, there is, trying these methods and starting to complain about things like amenorrhea, hair loss, brain fog. Amenorrhea meaning loss of period, not bleeding. And so then they started to look into what longer fasts might do to the female sexual hormones. And they realized that, okay, maybe it's actually different between men and women. And then quite soon after that, this came into the public through the professor Sachin Panda being interviewed, for instance, by one of those big ones, Andrew Huberman. This person, this influencing lady, changed her speech. All of a sudden, you were not supposed to do the same pattern of 16 to 8 anymore. Okay, so here's the thing. As humans, we will always seek pleasure and we will always try to avoid pain, okay? Adding to that is the principle of the bigger, better option. Our brain is wired for addiction. And when there is something that we are hooked on, we can't just stop doing it through sheer willpower. It doesn't actually work that way. We need, our brain needs, to exchange it, to replace it with something. And it needs to have a higher reward value than the addiction itself for the brain to actually be on board with the change. This comes down to the expression, therefore, that our brains are wired for addiction. And one thing that will determine how highly we will value this reward is just how much dopamine it will secrete for us. Now, the faster the gratification comes, the more we get hooked. So, of course, advertisement use this to get into our heads and get us into new things, into a new trend. The flashier some new thing seems, the more it suggests a higher reward value and a faster one too. This is, of course, why the whole new formula on any cleaning product, for instance, actually works. It really makes people keep buying the product and the brand. And they're even going to pay a little bit extra because, well, it is, air quotes, a new product with a new formula, even better, even shinier. We believe it. Consciously, we say no. But somewhere deep down in there, there's a trigger going, bigger, better option. And this is also why people did not hesitate to buy a dishwasher or a washing machine when they came out. What a treat, right? A new solution to something that was tedious, a must, and that took a lot of work. Now, all you had to do was to put the dirty things into the machine, press a button, and then just go and do something else, whatever you want. An hour later, you open the door and boom, there it was, clean. I would want to claim that using psychedelics to achieve altered states of consciousness instead of doing 10,000 hours of meditation or yoga seems like a far more interesting path to enlightenment, doesn't it? Fast gratification, a bigger, better option, hits the spot. And let's face it, using the old methods is not fun and it's not easy. It's hard work and we meet a lot of obstacles on the way. This is, of course, the main reason the ancient practices are not appreciated by the masses. And of course, more to that, there's not really any big money to make from it because you can't patent Ayurveda or TCM or any other system. Side note to that, this is, of course, why there's so many medications or herbs or whatever you want to call them, or even practices from these holistic systems that are always being told to, well, there's no research backing up this, which is basically a message to tell you, this is not safe, this is not working, this is not sure. But no, it actually is a question of, there's no big pharma behind it who's interested in spending money on it because they can't put a patent on it. However, there's thousands of years of practice proving that apparently it's working, but that no one seems to listen to. The things that are not flashy or needing some kind of gadget, the things that can't really be measured during a short period of time, are less rewarding and therefore less addictive. And we are really impatient. Unless something works instantly, we easily lose interest and we move on to something else. And even though this has to do with attention span and all of that, I believe that there's a deeper crack in the system with this aspect of impatience. And that crack is the wound, is the self-worth, because ultimately, lingering deep down is the idea that we're not enough, which means that we don't allow ourselves to dedicate time and effort to something that is just for me to feel good. And we don't give ourselves the time to be patient, to allow for things to turn around by themselves naturally. We want the solution now. No, we want it yesterday. Because you know what? Maybe we're not doing it. We're not doing these things so much for actually the well-being. Not as much as we're doing them for performance, for attractiveness, for glory, or for money. Because money has become really the bigger, better option. More than anything, more than the things, we use money to get. And I'll never forget this seminar, I suppose, lecture of Alan Watts. Now, in case that name doesn't speak to you, Alan Watts, you can just go on, for instance, YouTube, the simplest free option. And then there's plenty of podcasts as well. And just tap in Alan Watts. That's Watts with double T-S. Alan, not double L-E-N, by the way. So let's make this very simple. A-L-A-N-W-A-T-T-S. And you can listen to some of the most amazing lectures that lasts for hours. And he speaks at one point about that depressed feeling we get at the cashiers in the supermarket when we get the bill. And so we're more depressed of the fact that we have to give those paper notes away than the cart full of items that we can eat and drink and do things with. We've exchanged the paper for these things, yet we feel depressed to give away the paper. Now, isn't that sad? Is it really a search for feeling good, a search for helping this one body that we have been given for this life that will not be exchanged? It's not possible for it to be exchanged while we're here. But that is not what we take under consideration, because if it would be, we would also see that time in itself is not a limitation here, since, well, we're here to stay and there's really nowhere else out of this body that I can go. It's like that expression, you know, stop trying to be someone else, right? Be yourself because everyone else is taken. And so if that would really be the case, we would be very patient because there's really nowhere else to go. But we're not. And so there must be another drive behind it. And unfortunately, from my perspective, that drive comes from a lingering belief that we are bad, that we are flawed, that the only way that we know for sure that we can survive is if we tick off a certain number of boxes, which has a price tag on it. There is a reason that the ancient practices of finding health, are less gratifying. And that is actually because they are mentally strengthening. You see, when we get used to the quick fixes, the quick responses, and the easy ways that won't demand too much of us, we completely disconnect from discomfort. We don't know how to be with discomfort. And actually, therefore, we have no idea what to do with frustration, with negative emotions in general. Frustration is something that we really would benefit from learning how to live with. The reason people explode, the reason people kill and burn cars in the suburbs is due to frustration, but not knowing what to do with frustration. And the only solution seems to be to act out. And we do this, every single one of us. And this is not just a question of taking horrible actions, of killing people or whatever it might be. It is the passive aggressive. It is the shaming and the blaming, the canceling culture, all of that. It's absolutely a complete lack of knowing how to deal with frustration. I got a message on Instagram from a post where I was simply promoting the health benefits of practicing yoga. And the person got triggered and therefore told me that I was, fat shaming or something like that. The post had nothing to do with that at all, but it triggered the person because probably they are not doing yoga every day and therefore not seeing the results that they wish they would see that I was talking about in the post. And because that made them frustrated, they act out. Now, they don't act out by doing something really horrible. No, it's so easy to just go in and write some nasty comment on social media where you can be, you know, a bit anonymous. We don't know how to wait, how to be patient. We don't know how to sit with the discomfort and how to be okay that the instant moment is not the perfection that we would want it to be. And that means mental strength when we work that out. And this is what the ancient knew. They knew that by accepting what is, by taking it step by step, by doing for the sake of doing instead of an expected result, we would, well, achieve the beautiful goals, the nirvana, the samadhi, the whatever. But that was not the reason we did it. And today it is, how can I get to samadhi faster? Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this podcast and this episode. I am very grateful. If you enjoyed this and you think that other people could enjoy this, please help me to spread the word. Share this episode on any channel that you have of social media or messaging. And even more so, I would really appreciate if you know one other person who might benefit from my words today specifically. Take that 1 minute it takes to simply share this episode with one person. Remember that there's a human being on the other side of your phone, of your earpods, of this microphone. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've been talking about. So please leave a comment. Send me a message directly if you wish. This is Charlotte. This is me. See you next time. Namaste.